So we've come to you, O Allah. Atayinaka bil faqri ya dhal ghina. You've come to Allah. With what? Whatever you want from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should come to Him in a state of poverty. When we mean poverty here, we don't mean that you get rid of your wealth. No. We mean that you get rid of your claims. Don't get rid of your coins, get rid of your claims. You have the wealth of the world, but still you need Him. You're poor. You're in a state of need for Him. You're fit, but you recognize Him in every minute of your life that without His support, you wouldn't have kept this good health. So it doesn't mean that He has given you good health, you're independent with it. Okay, this is my wealth. I can deal with it. No, you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every minute, for every second, for every breath, to protect you, to keep you in good shape, in health, in studies, in success, in business, in marital life, in everything. If you go into real life, sometimes you feel it. Once I was driving in Damascus, and I went on a curve on a highway, and the car was about to go out of control at a speed at almost 65 miles. I was about to lose control. Alhamdulillah, Allah saved me. But believe me, there was no obvious reason why I should lose control. I have gone above that speed and succeeded. I drive fast. And I've seen miracles while driving. This is probably one of the most obvious things or ways you witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, I read one story in one of the English books that there was a priest who, at the end of time, tried to enter Al-Jannah, but was denied admission in Al-Jannah. So he stood at the door, by the door of Al-Jannah, and was knocking at the door of Al-Jannah, and the door was not open for him. And people were coming, other people were coming in Al-Jannah. The door would be opened for them, they get in. But this priest, Christian priest, every time he knocked at the door, he was rejected. All of a sudden, he recognized one of the people in his town, was a bus driver. And this bus driver never attended in the church, any service. This bus driver knocked at the door, and the door was open, he was welcomed, and he got in Al-Jannah. So that priest found it very strange. He turned to God and said, God, this man never showed up in the church, and you're getting him in Al-Jannah. I have served you so many years and brought people to you. God said to him, no, you haven't brought people to me. This bus driver brought people to you and brought people to me. The bus driver used to drive recklessly, and people used to say, oh God, oh God, oh God. Make dua and end up in the church, turning to God. The end of the story, when they came to the church, you made them asleep, fall asleep in the church. So anyway, these are obvious situations when you see the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being with you. If your life goes on normally and your life doesn't have extremes, usually you don't see the divine interference. I've been raised up in a good family, for example, you say, my family paid for my college, I went to college, I've never traveled or took any risks, following my life, have got my job, got my degree, studied well. This is why many Westerners, they say, we don't need God. And calamities for them are solutions, good solutions. When they go through tribulations, then they would recognize the need for God. But before that, it's very difficult to convince them that they need God in their life. Unless you go, of course, through theology, through a lot of means, a lot of ways. But generally speaking, you need to see this divine interference in every minute, not only on occasions. When I was driving later on, I thought, well, I could sleep, I could forget, I could, even if I'm speeding even 40 miles or 30 miles, something could happen. I've heard stories from people recently in Damascus. Someone was going upstairs and just his ankle slipped and fell and had to stay for 3 months in bed. One of our relatives, an elderly woman, was just walking in the street, nothing wrong, just on the pavement, carefully, nothing wrong. And all of a sudden, just she slipped her ankle, wearing comfortable shoes. Slipped her ankle, stayed in bed for 2 months. My mother-in-law, just recently in Damascus, my late wife's mother, just walking in the streets of Ludan, all of a sudden, a horse kicked her. We make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants her, inshallah, speedy recovery. What's easier? Just walking, not taking a car, not taking... Usually they say the highest risk is in flying, then in taking trains, then buses, then less in riding cars, less in riding motorcycles, then less in riding bicycles. The least is walking. The least risk is when you walk. I have read some statistics about this. So whatever you are, even if you take that, you know, the least risk and you walk, you're exposed. You're vulnerable at any minute of your life for an accident. Allah is preventing this accident. You're not smarter than others. You're not fitter than others. You're not better than others. It's the divine interference that is preventing you from such a calamity. So you should witness Allah, be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every minute. That is to say, you need Him. Major challenge, major problem. Muslims don't feel they need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till they face difficulties. Then they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've come to Allah in a state of poverty that you need Him. This is what we mean here. That you feel that you need Him. Ibn Atta'illah al-Sakandari put it in a beautiful way. نِعْمَتَانِ مَا خَلَىٰ عَنْهُمَا مَوْجُودٌ نِعْمَةُ الْإِيجَادُ وَنِعْمَةُ الْإِمْدَادُ. Two bounties. No creature is void of bringing from non-existence into existence and supporting, ongoing support.